way so far. That is just one. All right.
Well, at least we're out of COVID-19. We can do it.
Yeah, I hope we are. That stuff can just go away as far as I'm concerned. All right. Good to see everybody this evening. All right. So far, in the book of Jude, we have made it all the way to verse 8. Slowly but surely, we're getting through the book of Jude. Now, Jude has been warning us about ungodly people and pointing us to God's Word. What does God's Word say? Let me get John.
Here you go, John. Yeah. That one way over here. Look at that. No.
It's
all right. Look at Jude.
We'll get you there.
Jude. Here we go.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Now then. Okay. So far, Jude has been pointing us to God's Word. What does God's Word say? That is what we need to know. And that is exactly what Jude is telling us. What a concept. We have strayed from God's Word as a people. We have strayed from God's Word as a nation. And all you have to do is look around at all the mess that is going on right now in this world if you don't believe me. We're going to be in the book of Jude, huh?
Before we start in the book of Jude?
We're going to start on verse 9 in the book of Jude.
Verse 9.
Yes, sir. We're working our way to it right here. Let's see. If you look around at all the problems in the world right now, if you don't believe me, we have strayed from God's Word. If you want the problems of this world fixed, all the mass shootings, the wars, the hate, the famines, the different diseases that keep popping up, and many, many more, there is a way to fix them all. What does God's Word say? 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If my people, God's people, the same people that Jude is writing to here in the book of Jude, and if you know Christ as your Savior, guess what? You are God's people. If you have not put your faith in Christ yet, you are God's creation. And God is still blessing you with the chance to believe that He sent His only begotten Son to die for your sins in order that you may be forgiven and born again into His family. And as sure as I'm standing here, God will forgive you and adopt you into His family. No matter what you have done. And He has been patiently waiting on you to seek Him. God loves you so much and His love for you will never die. But His patience will eventually say enough. And even if you never accept His free gift of salvation, I believe God will still love you. God is very merciful to us. God has been very merciful to our nation, but people have strayed from His Word, and sin is running rampant and only getting worse. And I believe that only God can fix this world, folks. Second Chronicles 7:14 that we just talked about. It says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to do the same thing that Jude is doing and point you to God's Word. If you want a better world, folks, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I believe that if all of God's people would do exactly what 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, that you would see a change in this world. Why? Because God says so. God cannot and will not lie. And if God says it, then it is truth. Jude has been telling us God's truth through God's inspiration to him. God is revealing the truth to Jude, and Jude writes it down so we can learn from God. Last week, we left off at verse 8 in the book of Jude, where Jude says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now we left off with the words, and speak evil of dignities, which means talking bad about the ones God has placed over us, those who are in charge. And I would like to say that we shouldn't talk bad about those who aren't. We shouldn't talk bad about those who aren't over us as well. Have you ever heard the saying, if you can't say something nice, don't say nothing at all? Yeah. So, let's go ahead and I believe there's a lot of truth in that saying. So let's move on now to verse 9 in the book of Jude. This is what we're going to pick up today. Verse 9 in the book of Jude. Jude says, yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. The Lord rebuke thee. Yet Michael the archangel. So let's look at this for a few minutes. What does this tell us? When I look at this and think about it, it says to me that there are angels. It says Michael the archangel. There are angels. And that they have a leader with a name. I believe that this is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you why by using God's Word to back it up. The word archangel comes from the Greek word, oh man, okay, excuse my Greek and my Hebrew. I'm bad enough with English, but Greek and Hebrew, it throws me sometimes. The word archangel comes from the Greek word archangelos. Archangelos. And it is spelled archangelos in the Greek. And it means a chief angel. It is derived from two Greek words. That one Greek word, archangel, comes from two different Greek words. One is archo, which is spelled A-R-C-H-O, and it means to be first. The other Greek word that archangel is derived from is angelos, angelos, which is spelled A-G-G-E-L-O-S, which means to bring tidings, a messenger. Now let's look at the name given to this archangel, the one in charge. I've heard it said, what's in a name? Well, in God's Word, there is a lot to be learned by the names given in the Bible. The names are very important in God's Word. And I try to look up the meanings of names given by God in His Word. In the beginning, back in the Garden of Eden, from the very first, God named things. Who do you think gave Adam his name? After God created Adam, He allowed Adam to name certain things. But I wouldn't be a bit surprised if Adam didn't name the things that he did through the inspiration of God. So let's look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. I've got y'all marked there. Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 23.
Well, I had you marked.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
I did.
I'm going to have to do it.
You got this, huh?
Let's see here.
Genesis chapter 2. There it is. That sunk down, didn't it?
Sorry.
I didn't have it up high enough. My fault.
Did you?
Yes, sir. You got it. Chapter 2.
We're going to be looking at verses 19 through 23. So, chapter 2, we look for 19. 19, we're going to start right there at 19.
Genesis chapter 2, 19 through 23.
Can you smell for a minute?
I don't see
it. All right.
Genesis chapter 2.
Huh? What are you talking about?
You got some good big legs there. That's good. That's what I like to do.
Genesis chapter 2.
I can draw that.
There's chapter 2. Now we're going to look at 19. We're going to find yours.
Chapter 2. Yeah, I can draw that.
We're going to start right here. 19. All right. We got everybody there now. All right. Genesis chapter 2, verses 19 through 23. Genesis 2, 19 says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." So you see, God brought every living creature to Adam to let him name them. And verse 20, "And Adam gave names to all cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found an help meet for him." There was no one to help for Adam. Verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof." Verse 22. "And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man." Now you see that she is already called woman before Adam has named her. "And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." I believe that woman, name for the woman, was inspired by God, because she was already called woman before Adam named her woman. But Adam named her woman, I believe, through the inspiration of God. That's just my thinking. I find it interesting that the woman did not have a name until Adam and Eve were getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden. She was called woman until they were getting kicked out of the Garden of Eden. I find that interesting. On their way out, the woman got a name. Until this, she was just called woman. I thought that was pretty interesting. In Genesis 3:20, it says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living." Now, I was telling you earlier that there is importance in the names of what things are called. People's names have meanings in the Bible. The name Eve means life giver. Eve is the mother of all living. And everyone who is born into this old sinful world is related to the ones who started the whole birthing process. The ones who brought sin into this world that you are born in. We are born into sin. And there is no way around that. If you have been born, we're born into sin, and there's no way around that. If you have been born, not even if you were brought into this world by a test tube, you are still born into this world. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, and I've got them written down on paper, and I'll give you a few spikes. The Bible says in Romans 5:12, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That doesn't mean just the ones back in the Old Testament. That doesn't mean just the ones back in the New Testament. That means all of mankind. All of us. We all have been born into sin. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. There's no way around it. Now, I told you that I was going to show you that I believe that Michael, the archangel, is the Lord Jesus Christ. The name Michael is of Hebrew origin. And in the Hebrew, it is spelled M-I-X-A-N-A-I-N and pronounced Michal. That's my best Hebrew I can do. Michal. And it means who is like God. Who is like God. So we know that an archangel is a chief angel. Someone in charge who brings tidings or a message and is like God. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Y'all have that marked. 1 Thessalonians 4:13.
We're going to start off right there, John, and we'll be flipping over to the next page. First Thessalonians 4:13, right there. We're going to be flipping over.
You got it, Thomas?
Lady back
here. First Thessalonians.
That's your smoke.
That's a pretty new Bible.
Thessalonians 4:13 says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. That word means unknown. Concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 4:15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Here we go. Now I told you I was going to show you that I believe that Michael, the archangel, is the Lord Jesus Christ. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel. Ha ha! If you have the voice of an archangel, you must be the archangel. and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's why I believe that Michael the Archangel is Jesus the Lord. So we're going to pick up next week. When contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time that you brought us together here, Lord, to share your word, Father. And we thank you for the people that come to hear it, Lord. And Lord, and just pray, Lord, that they will talk today, Lord, that your spirit just open their hearts, Lord, that they can hear, Father. We pray, Lord, that they leave here today knowing more than when they came, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that they learn and that you continue to teach me and help me, Lord, to share your word with others where they can understand as well, Father. We sure thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. Thank you for all your blessings. Thank you for another day that you blessed us with, Father. Thank you for our food and raiment, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, for the ones that are the caregivers here, Lord, that help these people, Father. It's just such a blessing to come, Lord, and we just thank you so much for blessing us with the opportunity to come and share your word here, Father. We just thank you, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for the one here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, Father, that you would just draw them to the cross, Father, show them your Son, Lord, that died for their sins, Lord. We just thank you and love you, Lord, for all that you do, Lord. Thank you for your patience with us, Father. Thank you for your patience with this old world, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that your people would humble themselves, Lord, that they would turn to you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name today, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen.